Well, good morning. Welcome to Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. And for those of you that are on the other side of the camera, we welcome you in too. Thank you very much for being here and joining us for this service. This morning's sermon is entitled, Just Drop It. Now, for those of you on the other side of the camera, you don't get to look at the expressions I just got when I said, Just Drop It. Well, that's some kind of a title for an Advent service, isn't it? Well, there's a little bit of reason for that. Because this whole season is full of people that just drop everything. So let's join in prayer. Gracious Father, as we join together for this worship, this Advent day, we have lit the candles of hope and of peace and of joy. Help me express my thoughts and my joy through your words. Present your words as a meaningful tribute to you. In your Son's most holy name, Jesus. Amen. So it was written that good results are difficult when indifference predominates. Now these words are found in the instruction manual of a 1949 Singer sewing machine. The purpose is to advise the operator to look and feel their best when they sit down to sew, as their attitude will be presented in what they present, and it'll become visible in the sewing project. It's easy at this time of year to get totally distracted from what you're trying to accomplish. I was putting the final touches on this sermon last night about 6 o'clock, and nothing made sense. And I just had to drop everything and start over. It happened about the time when I was listening to the radio and the Christmas song came on. And this one gets me every time. The one about the Christmas shoes. If that don't bring a tear to your eye, I don't know what can. This little boy comes in to buy a pair of shoes for his mother on Christmas, before Christmas. So she'll look pretty when she meets Jesus. Now that speaks of two things. First, it speaks of the fact that this boy had faith in something that he didn't understand. He had faith that his mother was going to see Jesus. And it's a tribute to him that he wanted to offer the perfect gift to her. The perfect gift. Now, I'm also, because of that there song, you know, I also kind of like called a Grinch around the house, because just because Christmas is in the lyrics of a song doesn't necessarily make it a Christmas song. And the wise men aren't supposed to be at the manger. I'll explain that one also. And the wise men, yeah, they weren't at the manger. That happened a little bit later on. So with all that just said, I had to stop and just drop everything and start over and ask myself, what am I willing to give up myself? Am I willing to give to God everything? Brethren, know this, that saying yes to God or yes to Jesus may involve laying down your plans, our possessions, and quite possibly our lives. That's it. So I wrote down a little in the beginning of this here, just grab hold of your saddle horn and pull on them reins, because I don't know where this horse is going. That's for England. I did a little bit of studying on the fact of the wise men. The wise men are some of the heroes of this story. even though they get credited for being at the manger, which didn't actually happen until about a year or so later. They had a long trip to make. They dropped everything to go see something that they weren't sure of. They were astrologers. They were science men. They were men of many abilities. And they gave up and they left and went on a journey because of that star. They knew what that star was to represent. There was a new king that was to be born. And it was written down that when this star appeared, this king would be born and brought forth. He was going to be a great king. And the wise men had to go see it. They had to go see this. Gentile men, not Jewish men, but Gentile men from a different area of the world traveled to see the babe Jesus. They were looking for a king, but they knew that this was how it was going to be announced. And this journey must have took quite a while. This journey was, I would like to have been with them to see what they were thinking, to know what they were thinking. The Bible doesn't really, as far, Luke doesn't even include him in his story. Matthew includes him in his story. And as time goes on throughout the writings of the wise men, they're given names and they're given certain attributes, physical characteristics. But that was but the Bible itself doesn't do that. That's the way we read the Bible today. But they brought with them the gift. It's probably the perfect gift. This is what we're going to be learning about. This is what the wise men brought to us. They recognized him. They knew what was going to happen. In Jerusalem itself, there were scholars that knew this same thing. They didn't travel to see him. Just a couple miles up the road, they didn't travel down to see him. All the priests and all the Jews, they knew what that represented also. So when the wise men made their journey, they came for several months or several, maybe up to a year. We consider it 2 years because that's the time frame that Herod used when he killed all the young boys in Bethlehem. They knew where he was to be born. They did everything, but they came to Herod and said, We want to know where the babe, where the king is. We want to pay homage to the king. We want to praise the king. Herod said, "Wait, I'm the king. There's nobody else but me. I'm it." They come forth and they say, "Well, we have seen his star. We know what that represents." Herod gathers up all the scholars and says, "What is this about this star? Why did I know anything about it?" They said, "Oh yeah, it's written in the prophets that out of Bethlehem shall come the Savior, the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem, come from Bethlehem, they who is the smallest, the city of David." So Herod gives them the choice: "When you go and find the babe, come back to me so I too may go and pay homage to the king." They were a little bit smarter than that. They didn't fall for that trick. But they did find the babe right under the star, right where it was placed, right under the light. And there they fell on their knees and paid homage to the king, to the Savior, to the Messiah. Mary wondered about that, and she pondered those things, and she kept them in her heart. And this is the fourth time that someone has already announced what she knew, that this was the Son of God. This was the Messiah. This was who was going to protect and deliver us from Satan's grip. when they came in, that they rejoiced with exceeding joy, and they worshiped him, and they offered him gifts. Now, it was that we're not exactly sure how many wise men there were. We use the number three because that's how many gifts there were. But there was probably a dozen or so of these men traveling together. We can imagine how that would have been a huge thing to do, because most men traveled in caravans of great numbers. And they opened up their treasures and gave him the gifts. The gold. The gold is representative of a king. It's granted to a king. The frankincense. Frankincense was the perfume that was poured on Jesus' head. He was anointed with that very expensive perfume that Judas said she should have sold and gave the money to the poor. But the frankincense was the perfume of a priest. They gave him that. And myrrh. Myrrh was one of the herbs used in the embalming process of olden days. This was one of the herbs that the women had gathered to go and take care of Jesus while he was in the tomb. Even at the cradle, they foretold that he was to be the true king, the perfect priest, and the supreme savior. I'll go into a little bit of reading here. I enjoy William Barclay's explanation of those certain things. So the wise men found their way to Bethlehem. We need not think that the star literally moved like a guide across the sky. There is poetry here, and we must not turn lovely poetry into crude, lifeless poise. But over Bethlehem, the star was shining. There is a lovely legend which tells how the star and work of guidance completed fell into the well of Bethlehem, and that it is still there and can be seen by sometimes by those whose hearts are pure. I was helping with the junior high joiners over at Graysonville, and I challenged them with the question of, okay, the star was put in the sky on the night Jesus was born. When did it go away? Do we know when it went away? When the wise men got there, and Herod was going to use that to go after our Christ, the boy Jesus. And he took it out of the sky. There's no further mention of that star after that night. They followed it to the house where the child was, and then it disappeared. Well, how can that? God put it there. God can take it away. Simple as that. What he is, his miracles are his miracles. I don't question them. We'll start up here. The gold is the gift of a king. A Roman philosopher tells us it was a custom that no one could ever approach the king without a gift. And gold, the king of metals, is the gift for a king. So Jesus was the man born to be a king, but he was to reign not by force, but by love. And he was to rule over human hearts, not from a throne, but from a cross. We do well to remember that Jesus Christ is king. We can never meet Jesus on equal terms. We must always meet him on terms of complete submission. Always treated. Nelson, the great British admiral, always treated his vanquished opponents with the greatest kindness and courtesy. After one of his naval victories, the defeated admiral was brought aboard Nelson's flagship and Nelson's quarterdeck. Knowing Nelson's reputation for courtesy and thinking to trade up upon it, he advanced across the quarterdeck with his hand outstretched as if he was advancing to shake his hand. Nelson's hand remained by his side. He said, "Your sword first, and then your hand. Before we can be friends with Christ, we must submit to Christ." Frankincense is a gift to a priest. It was in the temple worship at the temple sacrifices that this sweet perfume of frankincense was used. The function of the priest is to open the way to God for men and women. The Latin word for priest, which means bridge builder, the pontifex. The priest is the one who builds a bridge between the human beings and God. This is what Jesus did. He opened the way to God. He made it possible for us to enter into the very presence of God in myrrh. Myrrh was used to embalm the bodies of the dead. Jesus came to this world to die. And I would like, they give a description of this, the painting. I'd like to see it. Holman Hunt painted a famous picture of Jesus. It shows Jesus at the door of the carpenter shop in Nazareth when he was a boy. And he come to the door to stretch out his limbs, which have grown but cramped over the bench, he stands there in the doorway with his arms outstretched. He's standing there at the door with his arms outstretched. And the sun shining through the door frame casts his shadow on the wall. It is the shadow of the cross. In the background, there stands Mary and sees that shadow. There is the fear of the coming tragedy in her eyes. Jesus came into the world to live for men and women and in the end to die for them. He came to give us life and death. He came to us to give us one of the greatest gifts of all. Gold for a king, frankincense for a priest, myrrh for the one who is to die. And when we look at Luke's story, they're not included in that, and neither is the trip to Egypt. Luke gives us a different aspect than what Matthew does. Luke is looking at Jesus the priest, Jesus the holy. Matthew is giving us a different outtake on Jesus. He offers up different stories and different tones of approach to it. Mark does the same thing, and so does John. But Matthew's account now leaves us with another group who had to drop everything and go. On the night when the wise men left, Joseph and the mother of Jesus left and headed to Egypt. The angel came and appeared to them and told Joseph, "Pack up your family and leave. It's time to leave. And I will let you know when it'll be safe to come out." Once again, here it is. We have to drop everything and move forward. Imagine what that would be like when you're trying to start over, because they were in Bethlehem. They left Nazareth, came down to Bethlehem. They went to Jerusalem, came back to Bethlehem. And then they had to leave and be, they were basically in exile to Egypt for several years. Almost 10, maybe 10 to 12 years, they're thinking. And then they moved back to Nazareth. And it was all to fulfill God's prophet. God said, out of Egypt shall come. And he was called out of Egypt to move forward. Matthew does a great job on explaining that. But also in that, did you catch what else was said? Read this. Read through Luke and read through Matthew. It's always Joseph and Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's not his mother and father. It's always Joseph and the mother of Jesus, or the mother Mary. Joseph was given the responsibility to help raise the child, but he was not the father. The purity of that is kept. Fulfilling the prophets, honoring the greatest gift that we could receive. We truly do. In Luke's account, it comes back to there when he has arrived back, when he comes forward. There was a few, we're saying yes to God. There's a commitment. When we make that commitment, when we say yes to God, that commitment, we don't know where it's going to lead us. And when we accept Christ as our Savior, and we want to do more, and we keep on working towards it. Sometimes we offer ourselves up, and when we're given the task to go, it's going to be, we have to be ready. When we have to give up everything to move forward, there's quite a few that, the challenges that was there. Mary had to drop what she was doing, and she did what she had to do. Really, Heather called me last week and asked me about this journey that Mary took. And I said, well, let's see. Mary started out in Nazareth. Well, I thought she was in Bethlehem, though. She lived in Nazareth when she got the word. So she had to leave Nazareth. And she was going to go see her cousin, Elizabeth, who was in the hill country of Judea. Now, when I got out my map book and I looked down, I traced Nazareth down through, clean over to where I thought the hill country of Judea was. Well, there's Bethlehem right in the middle. Now, let's see if we can go down, get across, come up. Well, she went through Bethlehem twice, never made reservations. Did she do? Now, there's, then again, but you know who got the blame for that? I guarantee you Joseph got that one there. Well, you know. There's no room for us. We forgot to make reservations. But when I was giving her the time frame on that, she was, and she's like, oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, so guess what she's getting for Christmas? Yes, but saying yes to God is a challenge, and we have to be ready to accept that challenge. We accept it every day. When we get up in the morning and we say, you know, thank God, you know, thank you, God, for this day. Give me the blessings that, you know, I'm ready to go for it. And when you're offered up these blessings, and it may ask you to do something else, and you've got to be ready. The perfect gift. I love it when we talk about that, but the perfect gift. The redemption. Jesus was born so we could have redemption. He was born so we can go on. He is our step towards the Father. And the Father is willing to take us. As we proceed on this week and we proceed on through this holiday season, let us remember that this whole day is set for another day when our Redeemer grants us that perfect gift. When we receive that holy gift of redemption, forgiveness, and eternal life. And all we have to do is accept it. All we have to do is say, yes, Lord, I'm here. Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I want to do more. Can we follow that up with an amen? Yes. That is pretty much, that concludes what I have for today. And I appreciate being up here, and I appreciate being able to lead the worship service. And I'm just truly thankful to be here. Gracious Father, it is a blessing to be here. It is a true blessing that I can present your word to so many, to offer it and help others be guided, for others to understand your word in a different light, a different meaning. May the light of that star, may the light of that candle brighten our pathway as we walk through this week. In your Son's most precious name, Jesus.